Well, have you ever made an entrance? And if you have, what did it say about you? Well, at the G7 summit earlier this month in Cornwall, US President Joe Biden arrived in a 17-car convoy, a motorcade, with the president himself riding in an armoured SUV. Now, normally, I'm told he travels in the Beast, which is a 1.2 million seven-seat stretch limousine, and is designed to give the president the ultimate protection against all eventualities. But the Beast was too big for the Cornish roads, so he had to make do with an armoured SUV. But think of it, a 17-car convoy. Because everyone must know that here is the most powerful man in the world. How to make an entrance? Well, here is Jesus, the King to end all kings, before whom all presidents must bow the knee. So how does he arrive? Well, he rides into Jerusalem on a young donkey. And if the scene in Mark's account, which we read together, is dramatic and memorable, what does it say about Jesus? So please come with me to the reading which we had, Mark chapter 11 and the first 11 verses. And we have four headings and then two simple but perhaps surprising lessons. So let's look at it. Jesus is arriving in Jerusalem. So point number one, what were the Jews expecting? So verse 1, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus has just arrived from Jericho. It's been an uphill journey all the way. Hot, dry, dusty, an ascent, tiring, exhausting, until you crest the Mount of Olives. And as you do, there in front of you lies the city of the great king, Jerusalem itself. And Jesus has timed his arrival with the great Passover feast. So Jerusalem is swollen with pilgrims who've come to remember that golden day in their history when God rescued his people from the tyranny of Pharaoh, from their slavery in Egypt, and led them to freedom, what came to be known as the Exodus. Well, that was 1,500 years ago, and now, 1,500 years later, the Jews are still asking themselves the questions, are we really free? Because this time it's the Romans, the hated Romans. But there are whispers, there are movements, there's talk of a new Exodus. And who's just arrived at the Mount of Olives? The one everyone has been talking about. He's been called, and it's a very dangerous term in that situation, he's been called the Son of David, a royal title. So maybe this Jesus is a new David, a great warrior king who's come to drive out the hated Romans. After all, if he can heal the sick, if he can still a storm with a word, if he can raise the dead, what's to stop him from riding into Jerusalem in triumph to be crowned as David's heir in David's city and to restore the fortunes of Israel? Why not? Why shouldn't this Jesus be the one to bring in God's long promised salvation? The expectation of the Jews. Well, point number two, how does Jesus prepare for his arrival? Now, the drama of this moment hasn't caught Jesus unawares. In fact, he stages his own entry into the city. So verse 1, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. Now, these two little villages, Bethphage and Bethany, they're on the Jericho side of the Mount of Olives. They're on the downside, as it were. And Jesus obviously made arrangements so that when he actually crests the Mount of Olives and rides into Jerusalem, he'll be riding on a colt, which Matthew's Gospel tells us is a small donkey. Well, all goes to plan, verse 4. And they went, and they found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those who were standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they said, and they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Now, normally pilgrims would enter Jerusalem on foot, but Jesus deliberately sets himself apart. He's not another pilgrim. And he's riding on a donkey. And in ancient times, Israel's kings rode on donkeys. He's deliberately marking himself out as a king. The world must know that the king has come. Here is great David's greater son. And it's a colt on which no one has ever sat. Again, Jesus is making another statement. Because in the Jewish scriptures, animals that were set apart for God, they couldn't be second hand. They had to be brand new, unused. So it's deliberate, isn't it? Verse 2, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. This is not a second hand animal. It's brand new in that sense. The message again is unmistakable. Jesus is deliberately identifying himself as God's chosen king. And that means this world's rightful king. The Christ. The Messiah. Jesus' preparation. So number 3, the crowd's response. Now when Jesus sets off from Jericho, there's already quite a crowd. But by now the crowd has grown because there are pilgrims. They've come to Jerusalem from all over the Jewish world. And so as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on this colt, marking himself out as the king, marking himself out as God's chosen king, it seems everyone is caught up in the drama. The king has come. Verse 8, and many spread their cloaks on the road. You may know the story of Walter Raleigh, or Sir Walter Raleigh, laying his cloak on the ground before Elizabeth I so she wouldn't get her feet wet. It's a gesture of a gallant gentleman. Well, look at what they're doing. Many spread their cloaks on the road. It's the red carpet treatment, isn't it? And more than that, there are, again, echoes of Israel's history. Here are people who are very conscious of their history, of their nation's story. Everything is resonating with them. Because hundreds of years before, what do the people do? They lay their cloaks on the ground before another king, King Jehu. Jehu is king. Jesus is king. And what did Jehu do? He overthrew the old regime. Well, maybe this king, maybe this Jesus will overthrow this regime, the Romans. Many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Leafy branches is more folk memory, pulling in again more things from their history, because 200 years before, Judas Maccabeus overthrew the hated Antiochus Epiphanes. And as Judas Maccabeus came into Jerusalem as the conquering hero, what do the people do? They wave palm branches. Maybe this Jesus, maybe he as he rides into Jerusalem, maybe he's the conquering hero. And again it goes on, leafy branches. Because again, pulling in their history, you can read about it, Leviticus chapter 23, they had a special feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a feast to celebrate Israel's arrival in the Promised Land. Well, it doesn't seem much of a Promised Land at the moment, because they're under the yoke of the Romans. Maybe Jesus will bring us at last to the promised land. Maybe at last he's the one to bring in God's long-awaited salvation. So when you look at verse 8, the people aren't getting carried away. It's not like they're sort of whipped up and they don't know quite what they're doing. To their eyes, Jesus' arrival perhaps means the defeat of their enemies and at last the arrival of God's kingdom. The day when God's chosen king comes to put everything right. And so they begin to chant. Verse 9. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. It's from the nation's hymn books, from Psalm 118. It's a song. It's a song of a triumphant king at last entering Jerusalem. You can see what they're thinking. Maybe at last, here's the promised king entering Jerusalem. Come to set up God's kingdom in their lifetime. In fulfillment of all that God has promised. This kaleidoscope of images in the Old Testament. Maybe it's all converging on this point. Hosanna in the highest. A shout of praise for God's deliverance. The day when God will come, when God's king will come to put the world right. Feel the excitement, can't you? The noise, the atmosphere. All roads are converging on Jerusalem. All points in their history are converging now. Here, this very day, this very moment. All Jesus has to do is ride into Jerusalem, destroy the hated Romans, be crowned king, restore the fortunes of Israel, and soon the nations will come and bow to Israel's king. The coming of God's kingdom, the coming of a new age of peace and joy and blessing, the triumphal entry. That's point number four. How does it end? Look at verse 11. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked round at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Is that it? The crowd disperses, a quick look round the temple, and let's all go back to Bethany. What was that all about? What triumphal entry? Well, maybe he'll be back tomorrow. Maybe then he'll be crowned king. And of course, before this week is out, he will be crowned. But he'll be crowned with thorns. And there will be a guard of honour. But they will be Roman soldiers who spit on him and cane him and flog him. And there will be a very different chant. They will be chanting, crucify him, crucify him. And they will put him on a throne, high and lifted up. It will be a cross. And written over his head, his title, the King of the Jews. So two lessons. Lesson number one. Great expectations. Now, what were the crowd expecting? Well, they were expecting a new Exodus, weren't they? Jesus, the King, leading the people at last out of oppression, out of slavery, into the promised land, this new golden age of peace and blessing and harmony. But their expectations came to nothing. No national salvation. Just a cross. Just a broken body. Shed blood. Just a dead carpenter from Nazareth. And life as usual. All their expectations seem to come to nothing. Or do they? What if the crowd's expectations were too small? What if Jesus had come to do something far greater beyond their imaginings? Not the rescue of a little earthly kingdom like some tribal chieftain come to set his people free for a generation or two. What if he come to save the world? To take on and defeat those two giants that stalk the earth, sin, and the one that terrifies us, death. What if he come to take on them and defeat them? After all, 3 days later, he rises from the dead. And what if he's come to overthrow wickedness, finally and forever, and to put the world to rights, to make all things new, to bring in God's new world? What if he come to close the gap between God and us, to heal the great divorce between heaven and earth? What if he come to bring sinners back to God? And what if his cross was absolutely fundamental to all of that? What if their expectations were too small? What if your expectations of Jesus are too small? See, all of us deep down, we kind of assume, don't we, that I have the right to health, wealth, and happiness. And of course, it never works out, does it? Things always go wrong. So we have worries and fears and uncertainties, and particularly this last year or so with COVID, all sorts of things have been unsettled and shaken. And maybe in our distress and our difficulties and things having gone wrong, maybe you've prayed. Maybe you've prayed really hard. Maybe you've prayed that Jesus would sort it out and that somehow he'd come riding over the hill to your rescue. But what if the rescue has come to bring is so much bigger than you're expecting? What if it's something bigger and deeper and stronger and more lasting that will last beyond just the short lives that we have? What if what he's come to do is bigger than ever you could have imagined? And at the heart of his rescue is this cross. This cross upon which he was nailed. Would you be ready for that? Well, let's move on then to our second lesson. The wisdom of donkeys. Now, who doesn't like donkeys? We all like donkeys, don't we? With their gentle features, their oversized heads, their great big ears, their ridiculous bray. We all love donkeys. Donkeys look so kind. That's why we have donkey sanctuaries, where donkeys who've lived for donkey's years can spend their last days happy in a donkey sanctuary. So what of this donkey? This young donkey on which Jesus sits. I mean, it's very low, isn't it? Probably his feet almost touched the ground as he sat on it. If only it could speak. Is there any wisdom? Anything this donkey can share with us? Anything we can learn from this donkey? Well, look at verse 2. He said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it." So this donkey is tied up. It's not free. Maybe that's how you feel. This donkey is standing. It's standing in its own dirt because it can't move. It's tied up. Maybe that's how you feel. The donkey has never been tamed. "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat." It's never been broken in. It's not tamed. "Untie it and bring it." Maybe that's who you are. You're untamed. Your untamed tongue, the things that you've said, and you can't unsay them. Your untamed life, the things that you've done, and you can't undo them. The things you know you should have done and didn't do, and the moment has passed. Because I'm untamed. I'm an untamed sinner. I keep my distance from God, and I never ever give him a straight answer. Maybe I'm untamed and I've never felt upon me the touch of Jesus. Maybe that's you. A woman left her husband and she moved in with another man. She thought it was freedom. I've escaped. New life. Free. But she didn't feel free. Actually, what she felt dirty. And she wished she hadn't. And she moved in with this new man and she felt she couldn't move out. Why? Well, she said it was her guilt. Her guilt kept her tied to this man. Guilt. That weight that we feel when we know there's unfinished business. That weight that we feel when we know we're going to be found out. And it's a premonition. It's a premonition of Judgment Day. When I will be found out. And in that sense, it's a premonition of the everlasting burnings. The condemnation which will break upon my head. Like our donkey. She was standing in the dirt, her dirt. And she couldn't get out of it. She needed to be untied. And then she heard the call of Jesus. The Lord has need of you. And now, when she heard the call of Jesus, the cross made sense to her. Because she began to understand that on that cross, her guilt, her shame, her sins, her untamed life, all the mess, all the filth, that all of those things were laid upon Jesus, so that when God came to punish the guilty, Jesus took the blame. And he died that punishing death for sin that she deserved to die. So judgment, condemnation, hell fell on him. And not her. So that she could enjoy peace with God. And the calm of sins forgiven. She heard the call of Jesus. The Lord has need of you. He came. He himself untied her. She left her sin. She left this man. It was a sense of wonderful liberation. Of freedom. And she was washed clean. Oh, cleanness. Clean on the inside. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And Jesus now took control. And because he took control, the burden was lifted. And it was a new beginning, a new life, a new heart, a new power to live by, a new way to walk in obedience to Christ, and a new love that was the answer to his love. She now loved him and followed him. The wisdom of donkeys. Are you tied to your sin? Are you standing in your dirt? The mess? Are you untamed? You know that. All the promises you've made. This time it's going to be different. But it never is it? It's always the same. Always the same. I'm untamed. But Jesus has come to set you free. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Lord has need of you. Don't resist that voice. Come just as you are. Come as a sinner to Jesus. You know what donkeys can be like? Donkeys can be stubborn, can't they? But this is a wise donkey. He comes when he's called. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't resist. Hear the call of Jesus. The Lord has need of you. Of you. So come to him. Let him take the reins of your life. Maybe like that donkey, you're just watching and waiting. just watching the world go by, waiting for something, waiting for someone. Although you're not quite sure what you're waiting for. But that something, that someone never comes, does it? You're still watching, still waiting, still life might be different. Because your life is hard. It is disappointing. And you might be wondering, what is the point to anything? I can't find a reason. Well, have you ever thought that the Lord has need of you? Have you ever wondered if there's a life that is worth living? And a Lord that is worth loving? And he's speaking to you now. He's saying to you, the Lord has need of you. And he's come tonight to untie you, to loose you, to give you a new life. Maybe you're thinking this is all a bit too quick. You know, I'm just happen to be here. You're getting a bit pushy. Is it too quick? Maybe you think I'm not religious. Grand, good, because this is not religion. It's bigger than religion. Maybe you've never ever thought about Jesus. Well, fine, but he's here tonight to call to you. Maybe you think, well, I don't know what this is, but I'm sure I can never keep it up. Don't I need to do something first? What did this donkey have to do? He just had to come when it was called. That was all that was required. They found the donkey, they brought the donkey. It came when it was called. They brought it to Jesus. That's all the donkey needed to do. That's all you need to do. God is not moving too fast and catching you unawares. And what's all this about? He's come to meet you. You don't need any preparation. You just need to come. You might think, well, I could never believe. Well, come to Jesus and he'll give you faith to believe. You might feel, well, I could never change. Come to Jesus and he'll change you. Change your heart. Maybe you think, well, my life is too much of a mess. I've got to start putting a few things right first, and then I can come. You come to Jesus. It's he who makes us clean. Maybe you think, well, I don't know what to do. Fine. Just come to Jesus. He's Lord. He's the King. He'll take charge. He'll tell you what to do. All that donkey had to do was come. Come. That was all it had to do. Come to Jesus. Jesus takes charge. Someone's bound to say, and it might even be a little voice in your own head, verse 5, what are you doing? Untying the colt. Maybe that's the voice that's going on right now in your head. What are you doing? Don't be pulled into this. Don't bother with Jesus. Think about it next Sunday. Well, ignore that voice. Because there's a greater voice. The Lord's voice. And the Lord has need of you. So come to Jesus tonight. You don't need any preparation. You just have to come as a sinner to Jesus. Donkeys. Now, somewhere in my study is a blue rosette. Because at the age of 10, I came second in a donkey derby. It was a fix because the course had a great big bend. And I was right on the outside. And the person who won was on the inside. So I think that must have been the farmer's daughter or something because they got the inside. Anyway, I came second. A donkey derby. I've got over the disappointment, just to reassure you about that. The donkey derby, think of it. We're all children, all lined up, sitting on donkeys. Why? Because children ride on donkeys. There's nothing threatening, is there, about a donkey? It's a lovely thing about them, but particularly not this donkey on which Jesus sits. Now think of Joe Biden's stretch limousine, the Beast. It's armoured, it's got 5 inches of glass. When it travels, it's flanked by the military and by Secret Service agents. And if you manage to get past all them and you grab one of the door handles, It'll give you a powerful electric shock. Because he's the President of the United States. And no one can get near. You can't just come to him. He's far too important. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is this world's true ruler. Here is the living God, the sovereign, who rules over all our destinies, who holds heaven and hell in his hands. And he's riding on a donkey. Not a chariot with a bodyguard like some great imperial Christ, utterly unapproachable. And not riding on a war horse at the head of his armies, come to execute vengeance on his enemies. But he's riding on a donkey, not even a big donkey. It's a colt, it's a small donkey. Maybe his feet are almost touching the ground. Here is the king that even a child can approach. Here is the friend of sinners, the friend of children. Whoever comes to him will find a welcome. And if I come as a sinner to Jesus, come just as I am, I will find such a wonderful welcome. And I'll be safe and forgiven and loved. The great lion is also the lamb. And you may come to him tonight. That guilt that you carry, that premonition of judgment, of that day when you will be found out, because you've already been found out. You know you've been found out. God knows you've been found out. That's why you carry your guilt. Well, what can you do? Only one thing. Come to Jesus Christ. Lord, I've messed up. I really have. And I can't take this guilt off me. But I know that on that cross you died to save messed up sinners. It's exactly who I am. So Lord, save me. Forgive me. Change me. The wisdom of donkeys. Tonight, is Jesus speaking to you? Tied up, waiting to be untied, watching, waiting, but you don't know what for, and you don't know for who, standing in your own dirt, unclean, untamed. But my friend, tonight, the Lord has need of you. And unlike that donkey, he won't send you back. He will love you and lead you and keep you for time and eternity. The Lord has need of you. Let's pray. Our gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this entry into Jerusalem of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think, Lord, of how approachable he is. The welcome that we can be sure of. We thank you for that promise that he makes that the one who comes to him, he will never, ever turn away. Our God, we pray tonight that we might hear the call of Jesus, the voice of Jesus. The Lord has need of you. And like that donkey, we might come and surrender to the King of Kings, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.